It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Big story. Andy Rubin is out at Android. What does it all mean? Jeff and Gina and I will discuss next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 189, recorded March 13th, 2013. Pixel Pressure. This Week in Google is brought to you by Podio from Citrix. Manage your projects with files, instant communication, and collaboration all in one workspace. Start using Podio today. It's free. Just visit Podio.com to sign up, set up your first workspace, and invite your team to get started. Work the way you want to with Podio.com. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, such as affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to receive $10 off at checkout. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, and now an online store. Check out their new commerce solution so you can start selling stuff immediately. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIG3. It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Look how beautiful my co-hosts look. To my left, Gina Trapani of smarterware.org, founding editor of Life Hacker, new mom. To my right, old dad, Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism at the City University of New York, author of Public Parts and What Would Google Do, blogger at buzzmachine.com. And get this, kids.
Widescreen HD.
Get this, kids. Both of them widescreen HD. Now, we've done this in very different ways. Oh, it just went black. Oh, that was me. Okay. my eyes are failing. Gina is on a Mac Mini with a dedicated cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
But you do look
Which I know is
fabulous.
An oxymoron, but I mean dedicated in my house.
Nobody else is using it.
Right.
Jeff is on Fios, right? At his house.
Fios.
On
my Chromebook Pixel, my lower Chromebook Pixel.
What a great camera.
In Ubuntu.
He's running Crouton and Ubuntu, and so he's running Linux Skype.
And I can switch back and forth with two keys between Chrome OS and Linux OS, where I'm in the land of the lost.
We just taught him how to use Uname.
And in order to do this, he has to use he installed Linux on the Chromebook. Like, this is amazing. I'm so impressed. Jeff, I don't mean to sound patronizing or, you know, but like, for a guy who accidentally mutes himself on Skype, you know, this is pretty impressive. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jeff, I love you. I love you to death. No, I'm so impressed that you installed Ubuntu on your Chromebook. I'm blown away impressed. You've earned many nerd points.
I got to give credit because what the Chrome guys did, this is the Google guys, did Crouton. And all you do is go into Shell. You type in one command, you sit back. That's it. They did it all.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that's so simple.
Brad Linder's article at lilliputing.com is the article you followed. And it does make it very straightforward. He also talks about putting Android Jelly Bean on there. And it turns out, because of the BIOS, you can boot to anything on a USB key. So any x86 OS would work. I guess you'd have to have the drivers.
I think this is true of the Pixel, not of all of the other Chromebooks.
Right. This is something new.
So now me and Leo are dying for a Pixel.
I bought one.
You see, you made fun of me.
We mocked you, and now I'm like, I'm so close to ordering.
Oh, it's because Gina. The thing is, this is a progression, and I've got to write this up. But if I hadn't been on the Chromebook for 3 months using it and doing really well, fixed a few problems, doing really well, liking it. But Leo's right; it's a netbook. It's
kind of crappy. The screen's not great. The keyboard's not great.
But it worked for me, right? But and I was really happy in Chrome because it was easy and direct and everything I needed to do was there. And so I was already sold then on Chrome, right? And I was wishing for a slightly better machine. Well, the slightly better machine didn't come along. The killer better machine came along. And I debated, and as I said on the show before, I went to the store and I debated and debated and debated. Then Google sent me heroin and a needle by sending me the machine.
First one's free, Jeff.
And so using it for a while, you just get so, you first get hooked on the quality of the machine. The keyboard is pure butter. I wish I could think as fast as I can type now. The screen is magnificent. The type on it is just beautiful for my old alien eyes. It's wonderful. You know, it's just solid.
And you know what's interesting about Chrome OS on that? It's running out of RAM. The entire OS is in memory.
Yeah.
So it really is super. And you have an SSD, but I mean, that's not even, it's running out of RAM. That's pretty amazing. 4 gigs of RAM, right? Two gigs on the old Chromebook.
Yeah, and 2 gigs on the old Chromebook was not nearly enough, and it would dump pages.
Right.
My fear of running Linux on this is that it's going to take up too much RAM and make it dump pages on the Chrome side.
But No. Yeah. In fact, you're using the same kernel. All you're doing is installing the GNU stuff on top of it.
Okay.
So it shouldn't be any, right? Gina, I don't think it should make any difference. Linux is very lightweight.
64 gigabytes SSD as well. That's a bigger drive than I would have expected for...
And a terabyte
a cloud computer.
A terabyte of drive, Google Drive.
It's 64 drive, on the LTE version, 32 on the Wi-Fi version.
Right.
And you have the LTE version.
This leads into the story that we're going to be doing shortly, but it's important too that I think that it shows the wisdom of Chrome as an operating system and this kind of machine.
Yeah, I don't think Google expects many people to buy this because it's really expensive.
No,
in fact, the one I bought, which is the same as yours, is almost $1,600 after tax.
You have higher tax. Yes, and I'm not suggesting for a second that this is a mass machine. It's not. But what it does, this is a proof of concept about the Chrome operating system. And it says that you really can, I can use this machine fully. The only need I had for my Mac still, even with the cheap one, was Skype. We've now solved that. And the occasional formatting thing I've got to do in Microsoft Word because some bozo wants it. Right?
But I do admit that having Linux in there makes it a lot more compelling.
Oh, absolutely. Because now I can put in other applications here. I can do other things. Now, it helps. I mean, this is where it's really not mass. You know, you've got to be a Linux geek to do that. But it still shows for the geek world. This makes this a very enviable machine now, I think.
Yeah.
So does any of the touch stuff work in Linux?
Oh, probably not.
That's
an interesting question. Although, how long before somebody does some patching to make that happen?
It recognizes it.
Does it recognize the touch as a tap? So you can tap on icons in Ubuntu and it launches?
Yep.
Wow. So I heard a rumor somewhere. I don't know. It may have been in the chat room last week that someone said something about how like the Pixel seems to be the machine that Google sort of made for Googlers. And apparently Googlers in-house use the Pixel and dual boot Google OS, which is basically a Google specific Linux distro. Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like this is what Googlers are using in-house. So, you know, it might be right that this isn't about mass appeal. This is just about, hey, we made ourselves an amazing laptop and we're just making it available for the super fans.
And it's putting a flag in the sand saying Chrome OS is a effective OS. And if you, the real problem, you know, I played with a Samsung for a week to review it for Before You Buy, which I did yesterday. And that's where my eyes were open. I said, you know, actually 90% of what I do, maybe 99% of what I do is fine.
Exactly.
It's just crappy hardware.
Right.
And and I tried photo editing. There's a few things. So I should emphasize, this is a huge luxury computer for somebody who already has a real computer.
Yes.
It is, you know, for me, it couldn't be my only computer because I need to do Lightroom. I need to do, you know, there's stuff I do on a computer that I cannot do on Chrome OS.
You know what? I could probably buy a mini for the monitor I have now.
There you go.
If my laptop broke, right? If my MacBook broke,
yeah,
I could buy that. If I were willing to do Windows, there's a lot of cheap stuff I could buy.
Right.
And the main machine, we're not at the point where this is the only machine. That'd be a little too nerve wracking.
Well, then that's kind of my point, which makes this at $1,600 a luxury. $250 for a Samsung. I think Google is means, well, it's kind of a disposable computer, and that's certainly how Google's selling it with the dog and everything. Yeah. In the ads. But I wonder why, and I bet you this will happen, there's not a middle of the road, a six or $700 decent quality computer running Chrome OS.
There was, in the sense that the prior Samsungs were $500, but they weren't decent enough.
They weren't
good
enough.
The price was too high on those. Yeah. They had to push the price down. They knew it. They've got, you're right. They've got to come in with a $700 machine that's a solid, simple laptop.
Anyway, I bought the LTE version. We'll see. I'm thinking I could probably use it as my... I have a computer. Right now I'm using a Windows machine, but a dedicated show computer. And one thing I did learn from using Windows 8 on this machine is that touch is great on a show computer because I can pinch and zoom, and it's just a really natural way to do stuff on a computer that I'm using for the show. And so, you know, the ability to do this is fabulous. I mean, that's just really great.
Yeah, anytime you're presenting or teaching.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the touch makes a lot of sense on the screen.
So I do want a touch screen. So the Pixel might be a good choice. It has HDMI out, which we require for putting it up on the screen.
But don't forget, when you get it, you don't get the touch unless you go into the Chrome flags and enable that. It's still
Isn't that weird that it's not enabled by default?
I think it's just still testing it.
Yeah.
But this all goes, may I leap to what I think is our first story today. To me, this all goes to the fact that Andy Rubin is out as the head of Android, and Sundar Pichai, who was the head of Chrome, is now the head of both.
Sundar, the guy who has been advocating Chrome OS for years.
And we've been complaining on the show for years that why do they have the two OSs? This doesn't make any sense. Right. What the heck's going on here, right? And now for the first time, I think we see that Chrome was able to come into its own, and that's what the Pixel really proves, is this is not a toy. This is real. It's a vision for computing.
Well, let's talk about the shuffle at the top. Big story with Andy Rubin out at Android. Huge
story. Still in
story.
Google. Still in
well,
Google.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it, but we're going to take a break. This is This Week in Google, and boy, do we have the story of the week this week. Just broke, by the way, literally just a few hours ago, so we're still digesting it, but we'll talk about it. Andy Rubin out at Android. Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis. Our show today brought to you by Podio. Podiodo, oh Podiodo. I am really, we're using Podio in so many interesting ways here now at Twit. Podio. And still I have a hard time exactly describing what Podio is. It's a way to bring together all the different pieces of a project all the different members of a team into one workspace that does not abandon how you currently work. So when you set up your Podio account, by the way, it's free to do so, Podio, podio.com. You can log into Google, LinkedIn, all your different ways you work. Bring in your teams from your corporate email, all of that stuff. You're not abandoning Google Drive. For instance, we keep all our docs here at Twit on Google Drive. Works fine. What it does is it combines Google Drive, Gmail, all the ways you work into a single workspace. And then you create workspaces based on what you want to do. And they have a huge variety of different workspaces available. It is a way to get your work into a single space that gets the job done, brings the team together. It is just phenomenal. Works with, all of the, it's just, the only way you can really understand how this works is to try it. So the good news is it costs you nothing. It's not a free trial. It's free. Podio.com. Set it up today. Do create that workspace. Invite your team in there and just start using it. And I think you'll immediately see it's got this, kind of like the social media stream. So you can see what people are, they call it the activity stream. There's nothing going on in this new one. So let me go back to the employee network and you can see. So there's all these activities going on. You can see what people are doing. You can see how they're working. I've been planning to do this Twit editorial advisory board, invite people into that to help us out. There are huge number of apps, free apps. You can build your own, of course, but many have done so in every area, accounting, advertising, creative arts and entertainment, education, fashion. And these apps, pre-built or built by Podio users, give you a huge variety of things. Yeah, galleries. Are you a photographer? Are you an artist? You work with galleries? Keep track of the galleries you work with. This should give you some idea of the kinds of things you can do. Try it free. Podio, legal practice management. FreshBooks works with it. Fundraising, venture Capital manages investor relationships when raising money. Are you in a startup? You got to use Podios. Get started now with it, because then it makes it so much easier when the time comes, when it starts to get complex. Are you in real estate, property management, brokerage? These are my managed properties, tracks payments and commissions, leads. Oh, it's great for people in sales. We use it for our sales team. PODIO.com. Try it today. Free. But do make sure you create that first workspace. Okay.
Can I ask Jeff one quick question about the Pixel before we go on to the story?
Welcome to This Week in Pixel.
In Pixel.
This is hypnotized.
We're hypnotized. That doesn't take any time.
Get out your credit card.
I already did.
This is more just a use question. So I've got some travel coming up, and I was actually thinking about getting sort of a new travel computer. I was thinking about a MacBook Air maybe. So I know you got the LTE version of the Pixel, so you have connectivity wherever you go. When you travel, when you're out for the day or on the road, are you taking the Pixel with you? Or are you taking a tablet with you? I see that it's like 3.5 pounds, which seems pretty light. My MacBook Pro is like 5 pounds, and I hate it.
So yeah, this is under three. This Acer, and I know you probably wouldn't get a Windows machine, but this. Look how thin and light that is.
Yeah, that's
the comparison.
Really
nice. And under 3 pounds, this is the kind of thing you can carry under your arm like a pad of paper. And that's what I'm looking for. Now, the battery life on the Pixel is disappointing.
Yeah, well, but it hasn't been that bad. I think if you do video on it, it's going to be a killer. The answer, well, Gina, let me ask you a 2-part answer. The first part is that I started carrying the $249 Samsung with me as a rule and on trips, and it worked. The only key is you've got to remember to open the mail mail app, the Chrome app, as opposed to the mail webpage, before you get on the plane, and make sure that it's synced to your mail before you get on the plane.
There's like an offline app that you can use.
So you have
There's
your
an offline app.
Right.
It's just easy. And they've just redesigned it, and you know, you might love it, you might not. The other thing is that the drive stuff syncs constantly. So that's okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the important first thing. Then, it's a little heavier than that machine was, but it's still light, and it's what I travel with all the time. And I didn't have LTE on that one, obviously. I had my MiFi with me if I needed that.
Right.
I carry a Nexus 7 still primarily for, because I have to ride trains.
So, yeah, is it a read?
Well, on the subway, I'll read, or at night when I'm pissed off and have had it with the world, I'll watch Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll make you pissed off with the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you Breaking Bad, Jeff? I think he already broke bad.
So it's a little heavier than your Chromebook, but it is your travel machine. It is your travel.
I have this Merce.
Oh, that's good.
It doesn't fit in.
That's good. Mm-hmm. You would want something to carry.
Oh,
I would
it doesn't
imagine.
Fit in.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, so instead I have this Uniqlo.
Oh yeah.
You guys don't have Uniqlo yet. It's the coolest store.
It's the store, right? It's just New York. Is it just New York?
I think so far in the U.S., San Francisco soon. Uniqlo is a huge Japanese. It's the IKEA of clothes. It's absolutely amazing.
Uniqlo.
Yes, it's wonderful.
They are online.
They have this incredibly light. That's recent. Down and it's all kinds of. Anyway, so I got a briefcase there for $30.
I thought that it was all like. I thought that it was winter jackets. For some reason, that was my.
They
impression
have a lot of
that it was all winter.
Incredibly, incredibly light.
Only
now.
In the winter.
but now that I'm looking at the site, it's all kinds of clothes. Okay, we don't have to talk about fashion. That was all I wanted to ask. We can move on to the top story.
NYCMD doctor says that he takes his Pixel to work and it lasts from 9 to 5 as long as he keeps it at 40% brightness, no video.
Okay, good to know.
And yeah, I mean, I have a feeling you'll be getting one, Gina.
I'm trying to visualize myself at Google I.O. Do I want a MacBook Air?
Well, wait a
or do
minute.
I want to be sitting in the audience
wait
with
a minute.
A Pixel?
You'll be getting one at Google I.O.
You think? I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Maybe, Google, you could just give us one thing.
Just the Pixel.
This last year at Davos. You know, I was thinking about getting a phone, and I thought, well, maybe they're going to get one out. I don't know. They didn't even show up at Davos. So you can't, you know, count that chicken.
By the way, Google Now, this is another story later. We'll get to the Andy Rubin story, I promise. But Google Now is probably going to be on that thing soon. And that,
yes,
believe it or not, as small as that sounds, that was another deciding factor for me. I love that idea. Notifications from Google Now on your computer is cool.
Notifications you control, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know what should happen? Google Now should realize you're about to board a plane and download your mail in the background.
Ooh, yes.
Yes.
And I bet it will at some point, right?
Yep. Yeah, right, because Google Now right now detects if you're near an airport and you've got a ticket confirmation email and Gmail, it will automatically bring up your barcode to scan in. So it doesn't seem that doesn't seem so crazy that it would auto-download your email in the background.
Well, and this gets us back to the story, is that Google Now, in a sense, is the first bridge from Android to Chrome and back.
We're starting to see a really interesting landscape, which is... Okay, so Andy Rubin, who has been leading the Android project at Google since day one,
He was hired for it.
Yeah, they brought him. I believe
he created
it. It was his thing. Acquired. His company was acquired. Yeah. Was it not?
Yeah. So Open Handset Alliance is Andy Rubin. Andy Rubin is Open Handset Alliance. They say he stepped down. He was CEO at Danger, and then Android. I mean, this guy is the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He is Mr. Android.
Yep.
So my question is, what the hell?
If you look at the
no
letter
one really
from
knows.
Larry,
there's no answer. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
I was saying, if you look at the letter from Larry, you see a lot of praise for Andy. Not in the kind of, that was nice, but we're glad he's gone way. Really praising him for his vision. And at the end, Larry says, you know, I can't wait for your next moonshot.
Apparently, he's going to be working on the Google moonshot.
Well, moonshots.
10 years. A decade, Andy Rubin worked on Android. A decade of his life. So maybe he's tired. Maybe he's ready to move on. But
I think this is an endorsement of Sundar and Chrome as an OS and as a vision, and that's the umbrella, and that he made a tough decision that gets in there. I don't think it's anything against Andy Rubin. He's done a magnificent job. But, you know, look at Vic. Vic, right, was all Android and then went on to Chrome, which is a high priority for Google. There is life after life in Google.
Yeah, I mean, the announcement makes it sound like it was Andy's decision. Andy is staying within Google. Just says Andy's decided it's time to hand over the reins and start a new chapter at Google. I mean, I know this is all sort of like CEO. Yeah.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I think Larry is very good. And this is a very hard decision for a CEO to make.
Yes.
But I think that he is thinking on a grand strategic scale, and there's huge significance in Sundar Pichai taking the role. And I think that Larry made a strategic decision and went to Andy and said, look it, I don't think Andy will be there in 6 months, but he probably said, look it, you could do anything you want at Google, but what you're not going to be doing is running Android after next week.
Why?
Because, well, that's the question, isn't it? What is going on? There's a reason you put the Chrome OS guy in charge of Android. Why?
Well, forget the guys. Forget the guys for a second. You're putting Chrome OS, right, which we thought was the also-ran. What he's saying is Chrome OS is the strategic future, that this is the future of computing, this is the way we're going to go, and Android is a part of that vision. And then when you make that decision, that's what forces the personnel decision. I don't imagine... Especially at this high level, the strategic level, you don't just say, you know, I like Sundar better than Andy. That's not what this is going
on. What if
this is somebody who has strategy?
What? And you would know because you are the expert. What would Google do?
I don't know.
But what if all along you've had this horse race between two OSs? Because we did wonder why two OSs. You had this horse race between two OSs, and this is the declaration: Chrome OS won.
Right? It wins the future.
It's, I mean, you don't put it on phones. You don't put it on phones, though.
No, but this is where you go back to Google Now. What you say is that there is a computer strategy that says that everything operates in the web or apps, and that there is a mushing of lines, right? I mean, you know, this is not mobile. This is couch. So there's a line that goes from laptops to tablets to mobile devices that blurs utterly. You're going to find 4-inch, 5-inch, 7-inch, 8-inch, 9-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, 13-inch screens. Where's the line? Right? So, yeah, there's an operating system question, but basically what it comes down to is that I'm using apps inside Chrome. I'm using apps inside Android. It's not going to be hard to start to regularize those things.
Chrome OS did not win, you guys. No one uses Chrome OS.
It doesn't make sense.
Lots of people use Chrome, right?
Yeah, and by the way, he runs Chrome as well as Chrome OS.
Right. He runs Chrome, exactly, which is both. And Chrome runs on Android.
Is it possible that they... Okay, here's the other take on it. They found something better for Andy to do. That Android is done. It's cooked. And maybe we said, you know what? This guy, brilliant. Home run. Moonshot. Let's put him...
Glass for you, baby.
Yeah, maybe put him in glass. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... That's what I was thinking. I mean, this whole, you know, that Andy started something so ambitious and, such a huge deal that he decided to start Android. And this is what this, Andy, more moonshots, please. Mm-hmm. They want to put him on something. He spent 10 years working on Android, which according to Malcolm Gladwell means that Andy's fully baked. It is now pretty much the best in the world.
He's got his 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours, right? They're saying, you know, we want you to work on something even more ambitious, you know. Android's fully baked. It's hugely successful. It's on track. We know where that's going. We have the personnel to support it. We're good. The Android ecosystem is firmly in place. Now we want to put you on something that's risky and big and ambitious and unproven because you've proven that you can do that, right? So I think putting him on Glass or some other Google X project kind of makes sense.
All right, let's parse.
In the chat says that Andy Rubin's letter to the partners just went up on The Verge.
Ah, let's see it.
So you'll see it in the chat.
But let's start. We will start by parsing Larry Page's announcement because that's where we're going to see, I think what Larry is thinking if we read between the lines. Sergey and I first heard about Android back in 2004 when Andy Rubin came to visit us. He believed that aligning standards around an open source OS would drive innovation across the mobile industry. He was right, was he not? Most people thought he was nuts. Fast forward to today, the pace of innovation has never been greater. Android is the most used mobile operating system in the world. Extraordinary progress, decades work. Having exceeded even the crazy ambitious goals we dreamed of for Android and with a really strong leadership and team in place, Andy has decided it's time to hand over the reins and start a new chapter at Google. You're right. I mean, this could be CEO talk.
We might as well have been guessing who'd be the next pope, but we know that now.
Yeah,
you
know, it is as crazy as that.
We don't know anything.
Right.
We're just speculating like everybody else, but that's fun.
So let's read the letter. Dear friends, writes Andy Rubin. In November of 2007, we announced the Open Handset Alliance, 34 founding members today. I'm grateful to the over 85 OHA members. Android ecosystem, tremendous growth, volume, and variety. He says 750 million compatible devices. Wow.
Yeah, that's a big number.
That's a good number. That's almost as many as Facebook users. At its core, Android has always been
free.
And
Facebook's free.
Facebook's free.
750 million bought things.
Well, yeah, but it is free to the manufacturer. At its core, Android has always been about openness, the idea that 1,000 brains are better than one. Just as the ecosystem has grown, so has our team at Google. I'm proud. Look at last year. Lean and ambitious released Jelly Bean, Google Now, Google Play, success of Android going forward. Sundar Pichai will lead Android in addition to his existing work with Chrome and apps, which makes me think that this is a placeholder, right? Maybe there's somebody coming along for Android. Hiroshi Lockheimer, many of you already know well, and the rest of the Android leadership team will work closely with all of our partners. I'm an entrepreneur at heart.
Mm-hmm. That's the key phrase.
Yeah, and now is the right time for me to start a new chapter within Google. He is an entrepreneur. He was at Apple. He was at Danger, which made the Sidekick, which was amazing, but didn't catch on. Then he started Android in 2003 as a startup bought by Google.
people like him are interested in the early stage right. of a big idea. They're this, most that's what turns that that's yep. what gets their motivation going. Yep. That's what you know lights their fire. That's what this sounds like to me. It sounds
I agree
like,
with you.
This is about look, I put in 10 years. Yep. It's been we reached, you know, we've been more successful than I ever thought we could be. We've got a great team. They don't need me anymore. I've got another itch to scratch. So,
so
I'm gonna
back
go do
to
that.
What Larry says about Sundar then. Right, it signals about if you think this is a placeholder.
Well, let's see. Going forward, Sundar Pichai will lead Android, says Larry Page, in addition to his existing work. Sundar has a talent for creating products that are technically excellent, yet easy to lose. I'm sorry, use. Freudian slip. He loves a big bet. Take Chrome, for example. In 2008, people asked, does the world really need another browser today? Hundreds of... I know Sundar will do a tremendous job of doubling down on Android. You know, in some ways, Google has lost control of Android. Google, Android is in some many ways not really a Google product anymore, right?
Yeah,
it's true.
Or brand.
And you see companies like Samsung and HTC co-opting Google, I mean, Android. The Open Handset Alliance is fractious and problematic. I wonder maybe if they feel like, yeah, Android's great, but we don't, it's no longer within our control in the same way that Chrome OS, Chrome, and other products that we make are.
But if you think about it, Chrome is a similar structure to Android, right?
It is.
Chrome is based on an open source project, the Chromium project.
Right.
Right. But you don't see the same sort of kind of fragmentation or forking or, you know, have you, I mean, has a company taken the Chromium project and rebranded it as a different browser? No. I mean, the Chrome brand is extremely strong.
And look at all
the
forks for
the same argument.
Yeah. Look at all the forks for Android. Oh, my God. I mean, Kindle.
Yeah. The Kindle. Really, the Kindle is the big one.
No, but yeah, but then there's tons of Asian forks as well.
Right, on kind of
low-end hardware.
People want to be able to, ship low-end hardware that's running a free operating system and not paying the licensing costs and all that, right?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a Kremlinologist, but...
I want to know what he's going to work on. That's the big question.
That would be interesting, because you've got a superstar here. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. And it seems very clear he's staying at Google. So, you know, normally an entrepreneur kind of gets that itch. You know, so many times we hear the stories of Googlers who kind of leave to do their own thing.
My first thought was that this is a victory for Chrome and Chrome OS, but now I'm going to step back. I don't think it is. I think you're right, Gina. I think Andy is an entrepreneur and he wants to go to the next thing. This is an established product now.
I also think that, victory is too strong, but I think that if we had bet a year ago, I bet we all would have bet that Chrome OS would eventually disappear.
Right. That they would give Andy Chrome and everything else, not the other way around.
And I think what this says in part is that Chrome as a architectural vision doesn't disappear, that it's fundamental. It's not going to become a huge product or anything like that, but it's fundamental that building applications within Chrome is the architectural key, and HTML5 is the architectural key to Google's success.
It just hasn't taken off, though.
But I know. That's the problem. That's Chrome, what they need to work on.
Chrome apps have just not taken off. Certainly not the way that Android apps have.
I agree, but... If you and the truth is that I use Gmail not in a Chrome app, I use Gmail as HTML5. So I'm not saying Chrome apps per se. What I'm saying though is that things built within the browser, and that's key. Now I'm saying this at the same time, of course, that Android has tons and tons and tons of apps.
Yep.
But you know, if you look at, I mean, I think the place to look is the success of Gmail and Google Calendar and that kind of stuff, and how those operate together, and there's going to be some regularization of that. So I don't think Chrome won, but I also don't think Chrome lost. I think Chrome survives as an element of a larger strategy that we can't see yet.
Wow. It's great stuff. I love these are the kinds of stories as a tech journalist, you just can't wait. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I thought I might, but now after looking at all the threads, it's very hard to figure out. But we will watch with great interest to see where Andy Rubin goes next. Somebody in the chat room says, well, no, he's just going to go swimming in his pool of Google cash.
let's just hope that he's not sticking around at Google because he's waiting on, you know, options or something. Let's hope he's sticking around at Google because he wants to do something else at Google.
Oh, by the way, this is kind of interesting too, is that if you looked at like Marissa, that was about a kind of administrative need.
Right.
Become a higher and higher and higher VP.
Right.
And Andy,
he doesn't want to run stuff.
About an entrepreneurial,
right,
innovative need to create something.
Yeah, because he's running a big division at Google, and he doesn't want to do that, I don't think. He wants to. I'm thinking you put him on Glass, maybe, or maybe there's something. What's next after Glass?
That's the thing. There could be something next after Glass.
Oh, yeah. I think it's what's next after Glass.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, right. It seems like he's definitely going to be on some sort of new mobile technology, right? I mean, it would surprise me if he was leaving mobile entirely.
What about cars?
What if you can't? If Larry Page comes to you and says, "Andy, you did a great job, and Android's mature. You're probably bored. We're thinking of brain implants, and we think you're the guy to lead the charge." If you're Andy Rubin, would you not jump? Now, by the way, Rubin is a big robotics freak. His whole house is roboticized. You know, if you're going to get into robots, Andy Rubin's your guy. I just figured it out. Google robots.
Your own personal Googlebot that'll just index your home, like a Roomba. It'll just sort of go around your home, index everything.
And it's a long-term strategy, obviously. I'm going to see if I can find this article. I remember reading a profile of Andy Rubin. Everything in his house is roboticized. Actual androids.
Actual androids.
Actual androids. We figured it out.
I'm off to work on actual androids. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that had been in a statement?
Now, if Larry Page comes to you and says, "Andy, we want to do robots. Would you like to lead that?" And you're not going to say no. You're going to say, "Yeah, hell yeah." Well, can we call it iRobot? Oh, no, that's taken. Actual androids.
You don't say, "How much money do I get?" Because I've already got God.
No, he doesn't need money.
Say, "How much money are you going to invest in this project? And can you get more investment in this pie in the sky, wacky big thing than you could get from damn VCs now?"
I got to find this profile of Andy Rubin. Here it is. It's from the New York Times, 2007. iRobot, the man behind the Google phone. A retinal scanner emitting a blue glow monitors the entrance to Andy Rubin's home in the foothills overlooking Silicon Valley. If the scanner recognizes you, the door unlocks automatically. Those forced to use the doorbell are greeted with another technological marvel. A robotic arm inside the glass foyer grips a mallet, then strikes a large gong.
Okay, I didn't realize that this was going to be, like, weird. I like the retina scan, but the mallet and the gong is a little weird.
But before he did Sidekick, before he did Danger, he had a robot startup. I'm thinking that's it. Look at, if you're Google, isn't robots, isn't that an area you want to explore?
They love them.
Actual androids it is. I'm sold, Leo.
Actual androids. We figured it out. Andy, call us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got the change log and lots more. You're watching This Week in Google with Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis, and our favorite law firm that's not a law firm, LegalZoom.com. It's not a law firm. It gets your legal stuff done at a much lower cost. It's a self-help legal services. If you've been waiting to, I don't know, are you sitting on a business? You got to have an incorporation or a document or an LLC. But guess what? An LLC is $99 at LegalZoom.com. Forming your business the right way can save you big, and it makes sure your liability is protected. Certainly what I did. And you know that LLC we formed for TWIT in 2005, still good. I have a law firm now at great expense. It's perfectly fine to start with LegalZoom.com. It's a great way to get it done. Can also help with trademarks. I did the same thing, trademarked TWIT and the logo, copyrights, patents, NDAs, and more. What about your home life, your family? Make sure they're protected too. Protect your family and your assets with a LegalZoom will, just $69. They can do legal trusts or living trusts, too. If you don't have a will, you know, it's up to the government, the courts, to decide what happens with your babies and your assets. You got to do this. First thing I did when we had kids, of course. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. And you know, they've added this feature since I used them, which I really like. You can get help from an attorney at LegalZoom.com. They've got the LegalZoom Legal Plan Network. They've got pre-negotiated prices. So the fees are much more affordable. And if there, as you go through the LegalZoom questionnaire, if you find there's, you know, like for instance, this was a question I had. Where should I incorporate? Delaware? California? We ended up using Delaware. I wish I'd had the help of an attorney to talk about the pros and cons on that. And by the way, you can look at unedited customer reviews and online profiles so you make sure you got the attorney that's right for you. At again, a pre-negotiated price. Attorneys can cost a lot. LegalZoom makes it affordable to get exactly the legal help you need. Start your business. Protect your family today. LegalZoom.com. Not a law firm. Self-help services at your specific direction. Or you can speak to a legal plan attorney and get your questions answered. Get ongoing advice. We're just going to get a little plug for Twig when you use LegalZoom. So if you will use the offer code TWIG when you sign up at LegalZoom, we'll give you $10 off. Just a little thank you. $10. Buy yourself a cup of coffee. LegalZoom.com. Use the offer code Twig. Let them know you heard it about it here. And we thank them for their support of This Week in Google. Now, ladies and gentlemen, break out the trumpets. It's time for the change log.
The Google change log.
And Gina Trapani has what's new at Google.
Short change log this week. Three quick things. First one, the app that I love on Android, I've been running for a while, Field Trip, is now available for iOS. Field Trip is the app that kind of runs in the background on your phone. It triangulates your position via cell phone towers, and it lets you know if you get close to something interesting. Local businesses, historical facts, landmarks, art, and culture. I've been using Field Trip for a while, and I really like it. It's a little bit of a battery drain, and at first it was a little noisy, but you can configure, you know, what kind of alerts that you see or you don't. And in fact, it's funny, I turned on the Field Trip ingress layer, and I went to the post office, which I like never do, but I had to mail a package, and suddenly my phone started making this crazy sound that I realized that it was telling me, Field Trip was telling me that ingress, you know, that this was a portal that the had captured. So Field Trip on iOS, grab it on iOS now. It's in the iTunes store. The Gmail mobile web app got a redesign on Android, BlackBerry, or Kindle Fire. Basically, last November, and we talked about this on the show, also in the changelog, Google announced a redesign for the Gmail mobile web app on the iPad and iOS. It was a nice redesign. It added like icon images and conversations. You could see your friends' faces, some Google Calendar integration where you could RSVP directly from a message, multi-account support. Well, that redesign has now come to Android and BlackBerry, Kindle Fire, really any phone running a good browser. And that's rolling out this week. And finally, Google Public Alerts, which you can check out at google.org/public-alerts. That launched in the U.S. a while back, but it's now available for Japan because Japan has lots of earthquakes and tsunami warnings. If you go to google.org/public-alerts, you can check out public alerts near you. Or if you type in Japan, you can see them also in Japan now, and you can translate as well. Those public alerts about earthquakes and tsunamis and that kind of those kind of events show up both in Google Search, Google Now, and Google Maps when you search for kind of relevant keywords now. So that's for U.S. and Japan. And that's all I got today for changelog.
Play the things. Yeah. Change log.
I will never cease to be delighted by the bumpers.
I know.
Never. I love it. It makes me so happy.
You're so simply amused.
There's something about horns and timpani, you know?
Yeah, there's something about it.
Ruffles and flourishes. Google I.O. sold out in 48 minutes,
which was longer than last year. I think last year was like 20 minutes.
Maybe it was bigger this time.
Yeah, I don't know if I actually don't know if Google released the official number, but that's what those who are watching it very closely and timing it are saying. 48 minutes.
I think it took that long.
Are you all going?
I don't know.
I'm going.
Yeah. You're going as press, though. Or,
I am going as press, yes.
You didn't wait in line with the unwashed masses.
I.
Some of the reasons it took 48 minutes is because there were some Google Wallet slowdowns. In fact, a lot of people...
Maybe Ruben could fix that in his spare time. Yeah,
really? I think that's really why it took long. It probably everybody who wanted a ticket was on within the first minute or two. Yeah. And then it was just waiting for Wallet to...
I saw complaints from people who thought that they were there to get it. Same as with the phones. You think, oh, okay, I got it. I'm in. And then,
This is Seth Weintraub writing in 9to5 Google. He tried it within the first minute of availability, got this page. It said, things are really busy. We're assigning tickets as they become available. We'll keep trying to get you a ticket for up to 6 minutes. And then he said, 5 minutes later, try again. We couldn't find you a ticket, but there still might be tickets left. He tried four times again and didn't get in. So it's a tough event to get into.
I love this. Don't do any of the following. They'll decrease your chances of getting a ticket. Refresh this page. Try to register in a new tab. Hammer the JavaScript endpoints using the JS console. It's very much a developer conference.
That's got to be really challenging to have some sort of system that these guys, you know, these developers won't hack at.
Please don't hammer our JavaScript endpoints.
Yeah, we know you know how. You don't have to demonstrate your abilities.
Get you a ticket sooner.
Please don't pwn us. Please. Anyway, yeah, we'll be covering it. What is it? What day of the week is it? It's March. No, it's what is it?
Thursday or
May.
June?
I can't see.
It's May 15th, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what days that is, though.
I believe it's a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Oh, maybe we could do Twig from there.
I'm going to be in Rio myself.
Yeah, I was thinking that I would come up on Tuesday and do All About Android in studio and then come up for Twig like I did last year.
Or maybe we'll do Twig there.
You want to do Twig live?
Or we could do Twig live from there. That'd be fantastic. I
would like to
be there and available for whatever we want to do. And then the keynote on the second day will be Thursday. So I don't know. We can figure out how we want to cover that.
Let's do Twig there because the show before it is Security Now, somebody else can do that because that's just Steve talking the whole time anyway. I just sit there and eat lunch. And then the show after, Know How, Iaz doesn't need me. I just get in the way, slow him down, ask him questions, make it harder. So we could just
triangulation there. Maybe we could book a triangulation guest there.
Oh, that's right. It's not Know How. It's triangulation.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We'll get a triangulation guest there. I'll interview Gina.
Through that.
There you go. Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that'd be great. I would love to do Twig from Moscone.
Okay, deal.
In the environs.
And what we need to do, and Chad, we'll get some help for you, but what we need to do is get set up some interviews and people we can talk to instead of doing a Twig like this, but we'll just do boom. Gina and I will just go boom, 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 and talk to all the people who are there talking about their new products and stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Sounds like a lot.
I'll bring
fun.
The coffee.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
All right. Deal.
I'll bring cookies. Cupcakes.
Did we get a media pass, I should say, before I say this?
I know that we have a contact.
I'm sure I got a media pass. I don't know, but I'm sure I did. And if not, I would just say I don't need to go in. Isn't there like a keynote? There's like 4 days of keynotes. That's right. I forgot about
it. It's 3 days. I think there's a keynote the first day and the second day.
Yeah.
I know. I think Jason Howell got a press pass.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm sure you'll be
able
to
figure it out. I'll get it.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll get in, Leo.
So we'll cover the keynote and then we'll do Twig.
Fantastic.
Perfect. Deal. Speaking of being pwned, you know it wasn't pwned at the Pwnium 3 hacker conference? The Chromebook.
That's pretty impressive.
Every other operating system got hacked. This is the pwn-to-own event that they do in Vancouver every year. They're unbelievable. Everything else got hacked. But the high-end Chromebook Pixel, no, wait a minute. What did they use? Did they use, I'm looking here. Anyway, whatever they were using was not hacked, survived all attempts to hack it. I can't remember that ever happening for any other OS. That's one of the reasons I think I kind of, I'm a little bit more sold on Chromebook. Especially a cheap Chromebook. You could use that for banking, for anything you wanted to be secure, and just know that that's safe, and then use your Windows machine for everything else.
So they didn't have any winning entries, but I think they had some entries, and they said that we're evaluating some work that may qualify as partial credit. So I'm not sure what the guidelines are for a winning entry, but it sounds like there are, you know, lots of attempts. And
Google had a prize fund of $3.14159 million.
Yeah, you know this had some people really trying hard.
$110,000 for a browser or system level compromising guest mode or as a logged in user delivered via web page. $150,000 for a compromise with device persistence, guest to guest with interim reboot delivered via web page.
I mean, that's a year's salary for a developer.
It's a lot of money.
You know, a young developer.
They were going against the base Wi-Fi model of the Samsung Chromebook. Using the latest stable version of Chrome OS. You can use any of the installed software, including kernel and drivers. No winning entry. Wow. Okay, so Pwn to Own is actually finishing up today, I think. So this was Pwnium 3 next, which was a Chromium Pwn, and then Pwn to Own does the other operating systems. During day one of the event, all browsers except Safari proved vulnerable to attacks, but only because no one attacked Safari. apparently there was a Chrome browser issue which was fixed. During day two, Adobe Reader, Flash, and Java also were compromised. It just makes you wonder. So congratulations.
Does it make you nervous? What does it make you wonder? Does it make you nervous or?
Well, you know what happens is, and I bet you the reason nobody attacks Safari is because what's the guy who attacks Safari every year? He always has a package of stuff. And then he went to work for Apple. So he's like, they took him off the playing field.
Yeah.
So everybody else figured, well, you know, we're not going to do that. No, it just means that everything has these zero-day flaws. In fact, it's really quite impressive that nobody could crack the Chrome OS. That's kind of unheard of.
It is, and it's better that they're holding events, inviting people to do it.
You know? And giving money.
Giving money. Yeah, exactly.
Which is the exact opposite of the way most companies operate, which is, no, I don't want to know. No, don't tell me.
Right.
I don't want to know.
Well, what's amazing, too, is when you go into dev mode on this, on the Chromebook, of course it says... no more verification, right? That's what turns off, so you can dev. And that only emphasizes to you how safe you are the rest of the time.
I it makes me think that this Pixel will be something that I will probably use, you know. And the nice thing, LastPass is installed on it. It's easy to log in all my financial stuff. It's really easy. I like it. So, remember, Microsoft got dinged a little bit, $732 million last week, because they... accidentally took off the browser ballot on Windows installs in Europe. That was in February 2011. And it wasn't until mid-2012, 18 months later, the EU said, hey, what happened to the browser ballot? Microsoft said, whoa, how did that happen? According to the Financial Times... it was Google and Opera that informed the EU. Scroogled, eh? I gave you scroogled. $732 million worth. Of course it would be, because in fact, I don't know if it was Google, but it was definitely Opera that demanded this browser ballot. So.
That makes sense. Yep. I mean, you know, it directly affects the number of active users that they have.
Yeah.
So
in fact, it did.
Got dinged for $730 million, and Google got dinged this week for $7 million.
who did?
Google did, because of the Street View settlement with.
Oh yeah, they admitted it. We violated your privacy, they said.
Well, yeah, I have a little rant, and I wrote a post.
Rant away. Wait a minute. Don't we have a little something? We'll play it after your rant.
Yeah, we play it after.
Start the rant.
So the New York Times, which you think would know better, has this ridiculous story. Page one, upper right, the biggest thing in which they say that, let me pull it up here so I can have a full rant. I just had a fit because it's absolutely one-sided, complete techno bias. It says that, and I'm not going to be able to find it because it's buried with the Pope.
The Pope did not get buried. The story got buried.
So it said, the headline said, pardon me one second here, Google concedes drive-by prying violated privacy. Now, the verb to pry infers intent.
Yeah, that's right?
There was a curiosity involved. That Google wanted to know these things.
We were prying.
So that's wrong, right? So then it goes on. And you know, let's remember, everybody, this was data that was in open, public Wi-Fis. Google was an absolute idiot to have saved it. It was because there was no value in it whatsoever. It was just
bits and pieces. It was random.
Bits where you drove by, right?
It
even Germany closed its case on this thing. Even Germany did, right? But these attorney generals, whatever. But then the Times said, the lead said that Google, and pardon me for looking away from the computer here, was casually scooped up passwords, email, and other personal information from unsuspecting computer users. And later said that for years, the company has secretly collected personal information, email, medical, and financial records and passwords, not to mention your strategy for Farmville, as it cruised by. It was data scooping from millions of unencrypted wireless networks. This is all the New York Times talking. And then it goes on, the worst of it to me is they say that privacy advocates and Google critics, the only people he talked to, by the way, characterized the overall agreement as a breakthrough for a company they say had become, and I quote here, a serial violator of privacy. Come on. Come on. Facebook, maybe. But there's no link to this horrible rap sheet of everything bad Google's done. It's ridiculous. And all the Times talked to were the standard characters who hate Google, Scott Cleland and Mark Rottenberg. And the attorneys general went after him. It was just nothing else. And so it leads to this panic. So I got a call today from a CNN producer who said, oh, so this Google award on this thing, there's a growing big concern about privacy, right? And I stopped myself from going
on.
I stopped myself from a BBC moment. And I just said to her on the phone, this is not a story. Well, people are concerned. I said, yeah, of course they are. What's what? I said, well, isn't there a growing concern? I said, not among the people, only among desperate cable news producers. And I just finally said, listen, but isn't it a story? I like Street View too. Is this a story? I said, no, it's not a story. I said, goodbye. And just hung up.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only do they, and this is David Streitfeld, although I doubt he wrote the headline, but not only do they say Google concedes that drive-by prying violated privacy, but underneath it, what do they have? A picture of Sergey Brin wearing glass.
Well, that's the other thing in the story. Now they're trying to tie this to glass, which is my other rant of the week.
The face of like data of recording, of watching.
The Borg.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're saying this is going to have an impact on that. Well, which is just ridiculous. And I had a fit last week. I wrote a whole post on Buzz Machine under this, and or on Medium is where I wrote it, where you can make fun of me for it. On Medium, it looks pretty. Just getting sick of the techno panic over glass. That before it's even out, before it's even used, people are having fits in media about this horrible danger. Then there was this ridiculous story this week of the dive bar in Seattle that banned Google Glass.
Well, right? it was a good move on their part. They got a lot of headlines as if it was meaningful in any way.
They admitted that, right? But there are 8,000 media stories in Google News carrying this junk, crap, which you can say in America.
Whoever their publicist is, that was a stroke of genius.
Oh, wow.
It kind of was. Totally cashed in on the whole thing.
Yeah. We're not going to allow glass in our bar.
Even though they record their patrons.
Oh, they do?
Have their own cameras. Yeah, yes. I believe that they have their own cameras in the bar.
Only we can have cameras.
Wow. I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, they do. This is my rant of the week is techno panic and how media play in techno panic, and I've had it.
And that's our Jeff Jarvis rant. I'm stalling. Of the
Jeff Jarvis,
week.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's what, Matt Wiener? What is his name?
That's
Matt Wiener?
Jesse Wiener.
Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse. We need video to go with that.
I know. I need a
pink Jeff Jarvis with steam coming out of his ears.
If you could just give us a face of just anger.
Yeah. Okay. Capture that, kids.
Perfect.
Now steam coming is out of it. Maybe little horns. I don't know.
By the way, am I pink this week?
No, you look. This Linux stuff is really looking.
I can't
looking...
tell because the green is drained out of me. The green is one quarter inch above the rest of me.
I tell you, you look marvelous in Linux. Very flattering.
Open source.
Open source, baby.
Source, babe.
Do we even care that Google showed a hacked speaking shoe at South by Southwest?
We're talking about publicity stunts. They said it's some marketing guy who did it. It's not a product. It's not. They're not making a talking shoe. Hey, let me ask you this. Did either of you feel deprived by not being at South by Southwest?
Gina?
No, I mean, not really. My co-founder, Anil Dash, he did a keynote interview with Dennis Crowley at Foursquare, and I would have liked to have seen that.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
But they were supposed to live stream it, but I just couldn't find the link. I looked and looked and looked and couldn't see it. Otherwise, no. I mean, I kept reading headlines about how people, my friends were basically celebrating not being at South by this year.
Almost everybody just said, it's a great party. Wish you were here. Yeah. If you could only get into the path party, you'd be really enjoying yourself right now.
I saw a couple of vines of Sixth Street. You know, it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't feel.
I'll tell you what I would have liked to go to the glass panel.
Oh yeah. We should talk about that.
And there was a search panel. So fill us in, Gina. What did they talk about?
So I think it's Timothy Jordan was his name. One of the product managers on Google Glass did a demo of Glass showing off some of the first apps that we've actually seen running on Glass. New York Times, Gmail, Evernote, and Path, which is kind of interesting. So we talked about this on All About Android last night. So New York Times, for example, if you kind of do the look up and to the right head gesture, you could see New York Times breaking news headlines or images.
I think that's really distracting. I don't want to see newspaper headlines while I'm walking down the street.
I have to tell you, I agree with you. I think the Times was kind of the least interesting.
Funny is, Gina, look at the headline there. It's from 8 hours ago. That's the last thing I want.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that should be coming out of the corner of my eye. I'm not sure I want to be reading my email as I walk down the street. And if I'm going to read my email, do I really want to read it on glasses?
Well, but this is what I really liked about the way they presented this, is that they presented a lot of the design guidelines. So with Gmail, for example, you have to subscribe to your Gmail in order to see your mail. And you could subscribe to just your important label. So it sounds like you have a lot of control over what gets pushed to you and what doesn't. And some of the design guidelines, the guidelines that they're giving developers is that the information that you push to the glass, to the heads-up display, has to be timely. It has to be, kind of minimalistic. It has to be important enough. It has to matter at that sort of within that context.
Seems really distracting.
Well, Leo, in our Google Plus group, Grant Jelinas Brown, I think the name is. I can't read because it types so tiny in Linux. had a great idea.
What?
And said, just when you start thinking about other things, if you're a presenter on stage and your notes come up there.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's perfect, right?
That's fine.
Things like that, right? I can see these kinds of uses where it's actually useful.
There's some narrow uses, but I just I don't think it's a general.
I don't want newspaper.
Google Now would be cool to have Google Now in my field of vision.
Twitter, I don't want email. I don't want any of that noise from Earth.
Right,
I want
that's noise
things that are actually going to matter.
Yeah, but Now would be okay if it said, or maybe Field Trip.
I definitely want my text messages in Google Glass.
Yeah,
I do
text
not
messages.
Want to pull out my phone, and look at my text messages. I would definitely want that.
All right.
Another interesting example that they showed off for the South by Southwest presentation was Sketch and Evernote. So you can have the glasses on. Say you're in a meeting and you have the glasses on. You snap a picture with Glass and you share it to Sketch. And then on your tablet, you can annotate that image, and share it and save it to Evernote, for example. So I really like the idea of, just being able to snap pictures quickly and share them out to Google Plus or Sketch. Text messages make a lot of sense. Navigation makes a ton of sense, right? I mean, navigation only makes sense in the context of a heads-up display, right? I'm always looking down at my phone while I'm driving to look at directions, even though I shouldn't admit that. But Glass would have that kind of right in a field of vision. So I agree. The New York Times example I didn't think was a good one. I think that subscribing to Gmail important messages, being able to reply, being able to compose an email, I might do that. Or compose a text message, I might do that.
I can imagine a case where you take a photo and you want to share it. My baby is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
that you could do that in audio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can imagine being with the baby and
gestures to crop it or things like that, and out it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine hanging out with the baby, excuse me, putting the baby down and being like, email grandma, take a picture, email grandma, you know, like that's something that's, you know, super, super, super useful. So
what do you have to say? Okay, glass.
Yeah. Okay, glass. It sounds like it's to activate it. Mm-hmm.
I prefer it to be yo glass.
I'm sure you can change it to anything you want.
I'm sure you can. Yeah.
Yo glass.
I'm not a big Path. In fact, I don't use Path. Is Path something that you'd be interested in, Leo?
No, I mean, I use Path. I love Path, but again, that's not, you come up with a couple of scenarios that I like. I like the nav while I'm driving, although I bet you many states pass laws against wearing glass while driving, but.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I bet nav would be good.
What about biking or walking? Nav.
You know, I fell off my bike the other day and I didn't even have anything on. So I think it's probably dangerous for me to be doing anything but paying attention to the road.
Sorry, Leo.
I did. I sprained my ankle and my wrist.
Oh.
And contusions all up and down my body.
Oh, sorry.
And that was all because it reminded me that biking is actually a fairly dangerous activity. Yes. And you probably should be paying attention to what you're doing.
Right. Okay. Walking.
Walking, yeah. Although. People fall into holes all the time.
It's only in Florida where they go into sinkholes.
If I was a Google I.O. or if I was a South by Southwest, I would love for Glass to be like, hey, two of your friends are in the bar up the street.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could say, you know what? We won't really know till we wear them. I just fear that those apps that I saw there did not make me say, gosh, I can't wait to
get
that.
I think they were bad choices. I think they were playing to the big players now, and it's going to be entirely new people who figure out how to use Glasswell.
Yeah, they've got partners, but are they the right partners?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. The New York Times is so desperate to figure out what the hell's next after newspapers that they're even willing to do. Have you seen the Google Poems?
This is funny.
This is on Reddit. By the way, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to speak to Reddit founder Steve Huffman on triangulation. it's r/ Google Poems, and I guess they're using the autocomplete. So here's
autocomplete.
One. Yeah, I am sad. I am sad in Spanish. I am sad in French. I am sad all the time. Oh my goodness.
hipsters Tumblr, hipsters in Detroit, hipsters on food stamps.
Here's one for yoga yoginis. Yoga is my health insurance. Yoga is my religion. Yoga is my only exercise. Yoga is my life.
So for those of you who are listening and not watching,
what the hell is this?
Right. These are autocomplete. The Google search box is autocomplete suggestions for particular words.
Here's one for Game of Thrones fans. Hodor, 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 Hodor. If you're not a fan of Game of Thrones, that was completely meaningless. Do you like corgis? So you type in my corgi is. You can actually do this at home. Type in my corgi is. My corgi is overweight. My corgi is limping. My corgi is fat. My corgi is satanic. These are all at reddit/r/ Google Poems.
When you interview the Reddit co-founder, are you going to ask about the troll?
I should, shouldn't I? I will,
you should.
Yes. I shall.
You should.
I shall.
He's still there, right?
What are you doing? My Leo is ignoring me. My Leo man is ignoring me. My Leo man is mad at me. My Leo man is ignoring me. Help! Chad just wrote that poem. Why did you start typing my Leo man?
I didn't. It auto-completed.
Just from my Leo?
Yeah, is space.
Wow. Why is my Leo man ignoring me? Sastrology.com.
Sastrology.
I want Sastrology.
Oh, my Leo. It took me a second. Is the sign. Okay.
Yeah, Leo. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where the hell are you? Where the hell are my keys? Where the hell are my Cheetos? Where the hell are you when I need you? Christ, sometimes I. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Sometimes I get a feeling. Sometimes in April, sometimes I cry. They tend to be sad. Don't know why. Okay, we should wrap it up. Any other last chance?
Well, you got a funny. I think it's funny for just 30 seconds. The Eric Schmidt book trailer.
I have it right here. Should I?
Yeah, yeah. The audio is what's funny. It actually gets fairly dystopian toward the end about all the things that go bad in the world. But then it's still a good thing, the internet. But just the voice on it just amuses me.
It's a YouTube video you can watch for yourself. Eric Schmidt and Jared Cohen, The New Digital Age, with special announcer coming April 23rd. Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Gosh dang it. Okay.
Here, wait.
Let me try it again. I'm going to disconnect.
Try to grab it.
Reconnect. Because it's kind of nice. You know what this sounds like? Sounds like our announcer. Sounds like Jim Cutler. I wonder if he did this. Wow. Thunder. Lightning. Very, very frightening.
5 billion new people will connect to the internet in the next decade.
Oh, my God.
And with this mass adoption, the world's population will, in one generation, have gone from having virtually no access to unfiltered information to accessing all of the world's information through a device that fits in the palm of the hand. What's more extraordinary is that most of these people
I don't think this is
online.
Official, by the way. I think this is done by the Draw Shop, which does
that makes me feel better.
They do awesome whiteboard videos.
Like those General Electric movies we used to watch when you and I were in school.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Our friend Zinc.
In parts of the world ridden with the greatest number of challenges, where autocracy is already the dominant governance model for the physical world.
Autocracy is the government is the dominant governance model for the physical world.
It gets quite dystopian.
I don't think this is official.
Yeah,
I think this is just
okay. It's a really good point.
A promotional vehicle for somebody else, like these guys who do these whiteboard videos. That's a big thing right now. If you're an artist, kids, just thinking if you can draw quickly, think on your feet. There's a real need for people to sketch strange cartoons at events.
Oh, it's very Davos.
What if
they love?
Is that me?
No, that was me. I was trying to. Four-hour chef isn't
just a cookbook. As is another one.
Yeah.
Adventure guide to the world of rapid learning.
Yeah. But I swear to God, every conference now, they've got a guy doing this.
Yeah.
I actually have one from when I did my book at Republican before I wrote it.
Yeah.
That has, you know, a big penis on it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, when I was speaking at La Web, they did one of me interviewing Kevin Rose. Are you okay, Chad?
I think I wanted to take one moment here, Leo, since I think that the chat room would thank me for this, and I think that the Plus world will thank me for this. But since you are being known as so anti-Google Plus, isn't it interesting that Facebook just copied the heck out
of did.
They did.
It looks. But now I can make the case that it isn't Google Plus, it's just big pictures. That we are living in a visual world, and Facebook recognized I finally got it. Hallelujah. I'm going to join Julio, Nick, and 16 others to get less clutter, more stories, and a fresh new look in my newsfeed. I just got it. I'm so excited. Take a look, it says. Or you could press the button that says, not ready yet. New, your choice of feeds. Stick to the same newsfeed you're used to with none of the stuff you want to read. Or or click the link to all friends, following groups, most recent photos, games, music, etc., etc. It's easier to get around. Visit other parts of Facebook. Get chat with friends all from one place. That's straight out of the mobile, by the way. That's the mobile app. If you ever need help, here's where help is.
The idea that I'm going to interrupt somebody and have them chat with me at any moment.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Here's
an article from Atlantic Monthly. If you wear Google's new glasses, you are an asshole. That's good. Go ahead.
Do you feel like the more visual news feed is the thing that sort of differentiates Facebook and Google Plus from Twitter?
Yes. Although, I mean, Twitter's doing inline images now, too. So
they're doing inline images, but it's not even close. I mean, everything is sort of subservient to the 440 characters, like the tweet, the text of the tweet.
You know, it's really a little bothering me is we just talked about this One ID, and I went to oneid.com, and all of a sudden I'm seeing on Security Now, I'd never heard of this company before, Maybe it's a coinkydink, but for some reason I'm seeing one ID and one ID ad, it looks like, although it doesn't say it's an ad. And I certainly didn't like them on Facebook in my Facebook stream. That's a little odd.
Facebook knows.
Yeah, I wonder how they know that I just visited them. But it is a little Google Plus-y, but I don't think you could really say this is Google Plus. This is the move towards much more visual streams.
I saw a side-by-side, I forget who did it, but a side-by-side of two of the same posts, and they were
identical,
exactly the same. The typography, really? The spacing, everything. And I don't. Maybe it's just me and when I post there, but I still get far more conversation, better conversation on Google Plus than I ever get on Facebook.
The quality's better. The number of comments is not. It's the quality, though.
Which
but you'd expect that. I mean, Facebook is everybody. Google Plus is just the few nerds who even heard of it. Now, if you do the photo stream, this is nothing but photos. It is really beautiful. I mean, that's big. Images, big fat photos. So, I don't know. I don't think this is Google Plus. I just think this is where everything's going. Right? The Pope's first tweet. Habemus Papam Franciscum. We have a Pope. His name is Francis. Thank God I studied Latin in grade school. So. Oh, wait a minute. The new Pope is Father Guido Sarducci. I thought he looked familiar. All right. Pope jokes. No more Pope jokes. Facebook redesign. Do you not like it? Do you not want it? Do you hate it? It's just you'd say it looks like Google Plus.
Fun. Yeah. It's fine.
I think it looks
seems
nice.
Pretty plussy. I haven't gotten it yet.
I just got it, like as we speak. So I will give you more of an opinion, more informed opinion as I use it. Okay. I think we got everything important.
Yeah.
Chad Hurley might start a YouTube competitor. I don't know if that's the case.
Collaborative.
Sounds like it could be something else. Eric Schmidt
I missed that Twitter's API keys for its official apps had been shared on GitHub.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting. Here's how to get around the restrictions, kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, really. Just go to GitHub. Everything's on GitHub. I love that GitHub resume. Are you going to do that as a tool? Can I show that?
Yeah, sure, I could.
GitHub.com/resume/... Just your name, right? GitHub.
It's a resume.github.com. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think you slash your name.
So if you've been using GitHub, as Gina Trapani has.
I have.
Wait a minute. GitHub. There isn't a GitHub. It didn't work.
It's resume.github.com/?, and then /?, Gina
question
Trapani.
Yeah, all right. Let's do that. And then it builds a... passionate GitHub user builds a resume automatically.
Yeah, but based on your repositories and does kind of like what you worked on when and
what languages,
what percentages of languages you write in. And
isn't
that
cool?
pretty nice. This is actually isn't. I thought it was an official GitHub thing. It isn't. It's just it's an app that a developer wrote.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We come back with our tool tip number of the week, Jeff and Gina. And then, of course, stay tuned, Triangulation, right afterwards with Reddit founder Steve Huffman. But first, a word from Squarespace.com. If it's time to create a website, it's time to take a look at Squarespace.com. I know there are a lot of choices for web hosting, but very few combine great web hosting with superb content management system to give you everything you need create an amazing website. And they give you a free 14-day trial with 24/7 support. You don't need a credit card. You can see all the different templates. You can even, because they have API support for importing from Blogger, WordPress, TypePad, and exporting too. And when I see import and export, I mean everything, not just your content, but all the links, all the SEO is preserved, all the images are preserved, even the comments are preserved. So everything is moved over. So what you should do is go to Squarespace.com, play with it a little bit, import your stuff, see what your site would look like at Squarespace. Lots of great stuff. Now, if you're a developer, their developer platform is second to none. You don't need to know CSS or HTML. It supports Git, by the way, and kittens, apparently. But you do, but if you do, you can incorporate those into your Squarespace site. Actually, the advantage of Squarespace for normal people is you can get a great-looking, unique site without knowing all that stuff. But the best part is the price is right. When you buy a year plan, it's as little as $8 a month. The unlimited plan, $16 a month, billed annually. You get unlimited pages, galleries, blogs, bandwidth. You never get a bandwidth bill. If you suddenly get popular, no problem. And by the way, even if like everybody in the world goes to your site, Squarespace can take it. I've never been able to bring a Squarespace site down. We bring down sites every single day, not Squarespace. Unlimited storage, unlimited contributors, and now they've added commerce. And I think this is so, so cool. A very flexible e-commerce solution for both physical and digital goods. So you could sell music CDs or MP3s. You could sell hardcover books or e-books. A single interface for order management, for tracking orders, providing customer email updates, printing shipping labels, adding coupons. Yes, coupons. And all of this included everything unlimited, $24 a month billed annually. $30 a month, month to month. Unbelievable. And of course, the mobile experience is fantastic, even with e-commerce. They will even calculate tax and shipping automatically. And that's the price. Squarespace does not take a cut from your commerce. That's your site, not theirs. I want you to try it free. Squarespace.com. If you decide to buy, you could take 10% off your first purchase with any new account by using our offer code TWIG and the number 3 for the month. Three for March. Twig3, squarespace.com. Gina Trapani, your tip of the week. She's muted. Hello?
Sorry, my fault.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma is a tag.
Wow, you're doing really good for somebody who mutes herself automatic accidentally. Ooh, girlfriend.
I just didn't want you to all hear me like slurping iced tea during the sponsor read.
I'm just teasing you. I mute myself.
No,
I would mute myself if I could.
Well
I can't.
Well deserved. It's true. I will never make fun of Jeff for muting himself ever again.
Oh, yes. He's sticking out his tongue.
I'm actually glad that happened. Feels very good about that.
Oh, God, dear. Got me.
Tip of the week this week, just a quick one. This comes from Lifehacker. If you ever need to figure out how to do something with the Google app, which you often do, you know, sometimes it's like, how do I forward my Gmail? How do I set up two-step auth? How do I set up, you know, multiple account sign-in? Well, you know, Google Search has that site operator where you can narrow search results to a particular site. So Lifehacker suggests if you want to search Google's official support pages for questions about those types of things, just use the site :support.google.com operator when you search. You can even narrow it down even further. Most of Google's answer pages are in the format of, you know, support.google.com/something/answer. So you can even, you know, use the nerds and who like regexes and that kind of thing can use the wildcard. So you can do like site:support.google.com/star/answer and then put in your search term, and that will return all the pages which are at that address. So testing it out, I just doing, you know, site:support.google.com and then search for something like forward Gmail, and you can get all the kind of official help pages on how to forward mail to another account or set up your forwarding options or set up another reply to address. So I love that site.com, that site colon operator to kind of narrow results. If I know exactly what site I'm looking for something in, but it really is helpful if you just looking, you want to just look in Google support, official support pages.
That's cool. I didn't know you could do that. That's really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's your tip. Jeff has a number.
So the talk I wish I'd heard at Southwest was Yuri Milner, investor in Facebook and other places, being interviewed. And according to the report in Vanity Fair, when question time came, questions from Twitter, someone asked whether, well, IBM had been around for 100 years. What companies would be around for 100 years? And he listed three. He said Google, Wikipedia, and Facebook.
Huh.
The latter of which, of course, he invested in.
Huh.
What do you think?
Wikipedia, Facebook. 100 years is a long time.
Long time.
I don't know if anything that we know and love will be around in 100 years, including New York City. So, I don't know. Do you think maybe? I don't know. That's a long time.
Long time.
It's like it's just like too early to predict. People ask me that all the time. What companies do I think are going to be around? It's like they've only been around for maybe 10 years so far.
I almost certainly say Facebook will not. I think Facebook won't be around 10 years. Google probably not either. Like Wikipedia maybe.
Wikipedia has a good shot, right? This is a nonprofit,
right. And it's the repository of all knowledge, which can only get better.
Is the Library of Congress archiving Wikipedia?
Not that I know of.
I mean, not sure of. But yeah,
archive.org is obviously.
Yeah. It seems like Wikipedia has the best shot out of those.
Yeah,
three.
I'd agree. I mean, Encyclopedia Britannica. How long did that last? How long did the OED last? You know, Facebook. No way. Yeah. Facebook's the MySpace of.
I think he kind of had to say Facebook.
Yeah, because he invested in it.
A lot.
Yuri, you're on to you, Yuri. So this is, you know, so when I got the Chromebook, I started playing with apps because that's all you can do, right, is these apps. So I'm just playing with, and I, you know, this was one of the things that convinced me that you really, there's quite a bit you can do with apps. And some of them are kind of fun. This is a really strange one. It's called the email game from Baden. Have you seen this?
No.
Makes doing email a game. You got a little timer running. And you got a little happy face. If you reply or archive, if everything you do, you could see it'll improve. I'm gonna delete that. So, and the timer runs. You have 45 seconds to do this. I should reply to this one. Oh gosh, time's running out, and my happy face is showing. So it does 25 conversations at a time, and you got to do all 25 in a limited amount of time, like 5 minutes. And it's just a way to kind of get you to power through email. And if you are one of those people that falls for crap like this, which I am, it makes email fun again because it wasn't really for some time.
What's it called?
It's called the Email Game. It's in the web store, baydin.com. They use your Google Mail. I've been having fun browsing through the web store. There's really a lot of stuff in there.
Because a lot of it is, let's be honest, is a link to a HTML5.
It's just a web page.
Yeah, the note program we all use.
Evernote.
Is just that. Yeah. Evernote is just that.
Yeah.
By the way, when you get the Pixel, when you're in the midst of you thanking me for inspiring you to do this,
yes,
Netflix looks great on it.
I tried Netflix even on the Samsung, the ARM-based Samsung, and it works really well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's new.
They just added the capability of running on ARM. So. You know, that's another one. I don't really watch Netflix on a computer very much, but it's impressive that you can do that. And yes, I imagine it looks amazing.
Screen is just this is
yeah.
Gina,
Pixel. I know. You guys are killing me here. You're killing me.
One baby doesn't need shoes.
No, baby needs nothing except a Pixel.
Baby needs daycare so I can go to the Samsung event.
Baby needs daycare. Well, I'm looking at the world clocks on my Chromebook, and it seems that it's 7:12 a.m. in Tokyo, which means we're way late. So let me... There's so many silly things you can get on this. I just love this. I just think it's...
What time is it in New Delhi now?
Yes, because that's where you will be.
Yeah, I doubt that I'm going to be up.
Let's see. New Delhi, it is 3:42 a.m.
Yeah,
I don't think so, guys.
Yeah.
Can't get you up at 2 in the morning to do this show.
Your head will fall forward and you will break your brand new keyboard.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
We don't want that to happen.
It's exactly the opposite, though, isn't it? Plus half an hour. It's exactly the opposite of California time. Plus half an hour.
Which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it is weird. Jeff Jarvis, so you will be here next week, though. You're not going to New Delhi yet.
Next week I'm in New Delhi.
Okay.
Full disclosure, it's an event that's done by Google and The Guardian, so I'm getting a trip over, no payment, but a trip over on Google. So
that's
so you know.
Fine. You probably get free GoGo internet, too. No. Actually, you do. You get 12 free GoGo internet sessions on your Pixel.
Hmm.
Yes, I will. So but cool. I never fly on airlines that have GoGo. So
I know. It sucks. Jeff is the author of Public Parts, What Would Google Do? He is a blogger at BuzzMachine.com, and he looks fabulous in Linux. Unbelievable.
It's
Who would
amazing.
Have thunk that?
It's really a huge upgrade.
Now we know. We just give everybody a Pixel.
Yes.
Wouldn't they like that? Gina says yes, yes, yes.
And I'm saying that on my brand new Mac Mini here. So.
Well, you look pretty good, too, I must say.
It's a big improvement.
I am
really
so happy. Oh, man.
All the work that Chad did, everybody at Twitter helped me out getting it sorted out.
We were committed to making Gina look good.
Aww.
If I use the LTE on the...
No.
But
we'll try that.
For one show, how many gigs would that be?
More than 100 megabytes.
Yeah, it'd be way more than 100 megabytes.
Oh, we'll find out. Let's try it. I'll try it. So if my Pixel comes, I'll try it.
And then Jeff can submit the expense report for the for the Verizon bill that month.
Right.
No, I also submit the lawyer's bill when my wife divorces me when she sees the phone bill coming in.
Right.
Hey, a reminder, we will be covering the Samsung Galaxy S4 announce event tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC at twit.tv. So tune in live. I guess we won't be able to get Andy because he's at the event. But Andy and Jeff and Dick DiBartolo will join us after the event for their analysis. Ron Richards and I will be hosting here as we watch the stream live together. It's what we do now. And I love that. We just play the stream so you can watch the event, and then we make fun of everybody.
Mystery Science Theater Leo.
Yeah, exactly. That's tomorrow, right after Know How, on many of these same stations. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.